Well, this morning I want to continue our Christmas celebration, and I want to speak about God's perfect plan. I love those Christmas verses from Scripture. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time had come, just at the right time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us that were challenged by that law, and we were under that law. 1 John chapter 4 and 14, very simple, the declaration of the Christmas story. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Well, this morning we're going to speak about and listen to God's word from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Now, Gloria Bolio was supposed to read this for us this morning, and she prepared so well, and she fell ill. So she's not able to be with us and do this, but her big brother is going to step in her place. And so, Ernie, will you come up and do the reading for us, please? 1 Peter chapter 3, verses, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. And it'll be in the ESV, it'll be on our screen. But before you start, Ernie, and what kind of mic will you do? Okay, perfect. You go over there then. Children and adults, I got a bag here, and I'm sure you need more things to eat, but anyways, that's all I got. I'm looking for three words in our text this morning. You don't have to be a young person, but a young person will be picked first. Three words that we're going to speak through and talk about this morning. So listen carefully as Ernie reads. I'm going to give you a couple of hints. The first word's in verse 3. I probably don't have to do this, but the second word is in verse 4, and the third word is in verse 5. So go ahead, Ernie. Please read our text for us this morning. This is God's word.
1 Peter 1, 3 to 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith through the salvation of your souls.
Amen. Thank you. Here, you saved that. Amazing portion of Scripture that we've read. So I'm looking for some key words that we're going to speak about this morning that are jumping out at us. Three words, and the first one in verse 3. Okay, the words will spell hip. First word, verse 3. Buddy, back there. Oh, okay, he's just scratching his ears. Sorry? Atta boy. I'm just going to put this right here, and you can come up and get it. I don't want to throw it because our liability insurance isn't paid up yet. Okay, first word is hope, verse 3. Second word, verse 4. Sorry? Beautiful. You can catch this, right? First word was hope. Second word is inheritance. Third word, it's in verse 5. Devin. No? Hip. Remember, it spells hip. I had one of those replaced. Ernie. Power. Right on, buddy. Arrow bar for you. Okay. Hope, inheritance, and power. In our text this morning, and was thoroughly explained in that song that we sang just before I got up. We're going to expand on those three words as we go through our text this morning. The verse 3 starts off, "Blessed be God, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again." What an amazing declaration that God had mercy on us, and he did this, and he caused us to be born again. How did he do that? It was through Jesus Christ, our Savior. God saw us, and this is the story of Christmas. God saw us in our sin and our need. He saw us as sheep without a shepherd. He sent Jesus to be the substitutionary sacrifice to take our sin away. It's the story of the cross. That a baby would be born to be the Savior of the world, that he would come and he would live a perfect life because he was in God incarnate, that he would live a perfect life and that he would please the Father in every way, and that he would do and complete all the work that the Father had for him. And the last was to die on a cross, a criminal's death, to bear on his body our sin so that he could take our sin away by his shed blood. To purchase us back, to redeem us. That word was in one of our songs this morning. To redeem us back from this slave market of sin. To reconcile us back into a right relationship with God. Blessed be God who had mercy on us. For those of us in this room that have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have that first word, hope, but I want to expand on it. We sang about it, and it's what kind of hope? Don't all shout out at once. Would you like to answer, Jenny? Okay, Jenny. Oh, you answer. Atta girl. M&Ms. Living hope. We sang about it. It's a living hope by the one who resurrected from the dead. So there's two ways that living hope is explained in Scripture to us, and two ways why it's living hope. Firstly, it's living hope because we were dead and we were made alive. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 is very clear. But God, who is rich in mercy, we talked about his mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, our sins, are under the natural curse of sin, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. We were dead spiritually, without hope and without God in the world. It says in Romans chapter 5 that this is the story of man. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We've now inherited a sin nature because of our father Adam, and for that sin was passed on, and death came with that. We read in Romans chapter 6 that the wages of sin is death. It's the curse of sin. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We were without hope in this world, without God, Ephesians 2 says, but he's brought us nigh by the blood of Christ. So this is new life, new hope, living hope. So number one way it's living hope is the fact that we were dead, and those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ have been made alive. Second way, interesting, it's in our text this morning. It says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, this is the baseline. This is our righteous basis whereby we have salvation. As sinners, and we sang about this, those words were so fitting this morning. As sinners, we had no hope beyond the grave. Jesus Christ defeated sin and death with his glorious resurrection. We think of that explanation in 2 Philippians about Jesus, that he was in heaven and that he didn't think it was something to hang on to, but he made himself of no reputation. He was found in fashion of man, and he humbled himself. He came to this world as a baby. And as a servant, as a human, he became obedient to death, even the death of the cross, that he hung on a cross to bear our sins. Then it goes on and it says, but God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, Jesus is living because of his glorious resurrection, and because of his glorious resurrection, the hope that he gives us is living hope. John chapter 14 says, and Jesus says this, because I live, you will live also. Because of the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ, the hope that he gives us is not just a temporary hope, but it's a hope that is living forever. So, we got hope, and we've expanded on it. Now, we understand that it's living hope. Remember these, because we're going to come back to that at the end of our sermon. Next, we had the word inheritance. From the text in verse 4, I need to expand it. What kind of inheritance is it? And you got to push this, so, okay, buddy, go ahead. Okay, and that I figured that's the way it would be answered. And think about those words, imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, and tell me what that represents. And I'll give you a hint, lasts forever. So what's a word that lasts forever? Attaboy. I knew this was good. Here, you got it. You can catch that, eh? So, thank you for doing that, because I figured it was a bit of a push to get eternal out of that. But it's an eternal inheritance and lasts forever. It's talked about in our text that it's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading in these. It doesn't change. It doesn't fade away. It doesn't break down. It doesn't spoil. That's what our inheritance is. In our faith chapter in Hebrews, it talks about our father Abraham, and it talks about that he was looking for a city. I mean, he wandered around in a tent, and he was looking for a city that had solid foundations, whose builder and maker was God. See, everything else that he could have put his hands on was going to somehow fail him, but he was looking for something solid, something eternal, and that was God. See, things, whatever we have in this world is going to be temporary. Things we have will corrode, crack, decay, tarnish, fade, and eventually fall apart. Our inheritance is in heaven, eternal, never to fade away or fall apart. We have these logs at our cottage, and every couple years I have to stain them. What a pain. They're imperishable. They perish. They fade away. They crack. They fade. They do all those things, so we're constantly working at making them look good. And we know that's a problem that you can never solve completely. But you see, we have an eternal inheritance that will never fade, will never lose its perfect design and value. It's time-proof. And there's nothing else in this world that is time-proof other than God's plan of our inheritance. Why do we know that it's time-proof? Because it's at the end of our verse, it's kept in heaven for you by God. Time-proof, heaven, a place where God has designed us to be with him forever. All the things that we hold important are going to fade away. I used to have an MG. I love that car. I bought it, painted it, did body work, red MG. Sorry? No, it was MG, MGB, a little sports car. And I never got to drive it because Jennifer just took it to school and took all the boys for a ride. But I fixed that car up, and it actually started rusting from the inside out. And I would sit it in the garage, and when I drove it back out, there was a pile of rust there. And all the gunnels underneath were just falling apart. I finally had to get rid of it because it was fading. It was perishable. Something that I loved was falling apart right before my eyes. This God's promised us something that's eternal, kept in the heavens for us by God Himself. And God's promised us the eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's what it is. The oldest and, or the old gospel verse that so many of us learn, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. It's a eternal inheritance. Okay, well, our last word now, we've got a living hope. We've got an eternal inheritance. Remember those words? Thirdly, we have what kind of power? Beautiful. Oh, that's so good. Starburst? Burst? Here. It's God's power. Verse 5. We are guarded by God's power. Now, I just want to take a few minutes and how many more do I? Oh, I only have one, two. I have four more. So there are some words that start with O-M that describe God. He's omni. Can you tell me what the three words are that describe God's powerfulness and His awesomeness? Three words. You could be an adult if the young people can't. Yes, sir. You're right. Right on. Now, can you tell me what they mean? Omnipotent. What does it mean? Right on. Omniscient. Right on. And omnipresent. Everywhere at the same time. Wow. I think that deserves caramel milk. That's our God. That's His powerfulness of our God. That guards us by God's power, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, the powerful God that has made promises and He will keep His promises because He's God. He's promised us salvation and He says that He will keep that salvation. He'll guard us, and that's what the word is, that He guards us by His power. There's a verse, there's a group of verses that I learned when I was one of your ages. So back in the day when we were in Sunday school, they used to have something annually called a Sunday school treat. It was no treat. You learned a chapter, okay, kids, listen to this. You learned a chapter, and at the end of the day, you got a bag, a paper bag with an apple in it, a licorice, and a few peanuts. But I tell you what it did do. It locked God's word in our heart. And I can still recall verses that I learned, albeit I learned them under duress. I learned them and I hid God's word in my heart so that I wouldn't sin against them. That's what the scripture tells us. And how important is that for us to hide God's word in our heart? To understand that we have a living hope and we have scripture that tells us why. That we have a eternal inheritance, and we have a scripture that tells us why, and we understand those truths of God. And now we have God's power. And this is what the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, and we went through this in our Romans study. If God be for us, who can be against us? For He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered us up from us for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the living power, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, the one that's guarding us by His power. I am persuaded, and I love this verse, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities and powers, nor things present, nor things to come, think if we've missed anything, nor height or depth, nor any other thing, just in case we might have missed something, and any other thing shall not be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that great? That's the truth of God's word that you can take with the confidence that God is faithful, he's eternal, and he's made a promise, and because of his faithfulness, his promises will come to fruition. That's eternal security, guarded by God's power. The text continues through that, is guarded by God's power for a salvation, or through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. What does that mean? Well, salvation has three parts to it. Those of us that have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the moment we believed, we're saved from the penalty of sin. You've heard this before. But this is fundamental to our understanding of our salvation. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourself. Even your faith is a gift from God." John chapter 5, verse 24 says this, "Most assuredly," this is what Jesus says, "I say to you, he who believes my word and believes has everlasting life and will not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life." No more penalty for sin in salvation by trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The second part of our salvation is that a believer is saved from the power of sin as the Holy Spirit guides us in our sanctification. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," and we read this morning at our first service, "if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new." And then at the end of our verse 5, to be revealed in this last time, this salvation is going to come to full fruition when Jesus Christ returns and we are taken back to glory with him forever, and we're going to be free from the presence of sin. The last time, Hebrews 9, verse 28, "To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time." We just celebrated his first coming. He came into this world as a baby to live and die as the sacrifice for sin. He's going to come the second time, apart from sin, for complete salvation. That's when he takes his body, his bride, and he brings them back to heaven, and we live forever with him as he's promised us in that eternal inheritance, the Lord's promised return. I just want to repeat the end of our text this morning as I close off, and we'll just do a repeat on our words. Verses 8 and 9, listen to this carefully. "Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him. And you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith," we talked about that, "the salvation of your souls." See, the reason for Christmas, the reason for the celebration, is that God has visited us through Jesus Christ, his Son, that he might provide a way that we can obtain this salvation, this inheritance that's eternal, this living hope, and this power through God's hand and the Holy Spirit to live a life that is full of joy, it brings joy and glory. Our prayer is that everyone in this room and those that are listening online can say, "I believe and I trust." And this will bring joy and glory during this Christmas time and all the way through the year. this joyous occasion of Jesus' birth for the salvation of the world needs to be a celebration for us every Sunday, and we do that here. Every Sunday we celebrate his death, his burial, and his resurrection, because this is our living hope, this is our eternal inheritance, and this is the power that God has promised to each one of us that trust him and obey him. As I close off, I'm going to just, I've got three, so I'm going to share this really well. I'm not going to overdo it, so just one answer is fine, and these are going to be pretty easy, so this is pretty much a surety. Three words. Number one word was and what kind of hope was it? Attaboy. Reese's Pieces for you. Okay, we have a living hope. Second word. And what kind of inheritance? And that, what word did we use for that? Attaboy. Here, catch that. Sorry, Sheila. And lastly, we're guarded by and kept by and promised by God's power. Oh! Okay, pretend I didn't say that. Bye. Right on. Okay, great. So, words to take away from God's word, words that you can remember, you can trust in. We have a living hope. A living hope. We were dead, we were made alive. We're a living hope because Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and he lives in the power of an endless life, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that he's Lord and Savior. Number one, we have living hope. Number two, we have an eternal inheritance that God has given us, the promise of an inheritance that would be undefiled, doesn't fade away, imperishable, not like the things we have in our closet or in our garage, something that is permanent, timeless, and that's his inheritance for us in heaven as he's promised for all his children. And last, God's power, God the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient one who guards us by his word and by his power, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, nor things above or things below, none of those things in that list, because God's promise is that he will guard us by his power. And lastly, we have three salvations. We have salvation from the penalty of sin. All those that trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior no longer have to bear God's wrath because they're saved from that. They're saved from the practice or the power of sin because we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit who enables us to defeat that through the power of God. He gives us power to do that through his indwelling, and he guides us and he makes us a new creation. And lastly, we're going to be saved from the presence of sin, which is in heaven as God's promised that eternal inheritance. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a closing song. So let's bow our heads together as we commit our time to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word and the clarity of it. We thank you that it's simple enough for us to understand. We thank you that you've made promises to us that we can be assured of. We thank you, Lord, that your hope is living because you live. We thank you that it's eternal because your promises is forever and you're timeless. And we thank you that you have power to guard us and to keep us, Lord, as you are the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient one. We thank you, Lord, that we can depend on you and we can be persuaded, just like Paul said, persuaded that you will keep what he's committed to you, what we've committed to you unto that day of your return. So, Lord, we ask that our Christmas celebration, as we've done already and as we continue, will be to your honor and glory. We pray, Lord, that each one in this room will be able to say that I do believe and that I have joy and that I have the understanding of glory. So, Lord, we just pray that this Christmas has been a special time And Lord, we ask that in all these things that you will be honored. And we ask that you'll bless each family here, Lord, all the kids that are with us, the adults. We thank you for them. What a blessing to be able to be in a room with them to sing and to talk about your word. Lord, we ask that you'll bless each family. We pray this in Jesus' name.